And I have questions. I've got two questions for you. The first one is just kind of fun, and it is the top seven answers for most participated in Christmas activities across the United States. This is not a worldwide quiz. We consulted Google and all of those really intelligent people, and we came up with the top seven Christmas activities. And so we want to see if you can name the top seven Christmas activities, and if you know one, whatever age you are, raise your hand and we will call upon you. We have the yes, no column.
Decorating the tree
is in fact number one. Excellent. This young man right in front of you. Caroling. Now we're going to give you that one, playing Christmas music.
Caroling is better.
Caroling, especially when you're in church.
Caroling is what they meant to say. That's what I think.
Giving presents.
Giving presents, yes. Giving gifts and receiving gifts. Katie. Going to church. Can I just tell you something about your pastoral and staff here? When we did this, we didn't get that one. And I'd like to believe it's because we assume that.
It was really embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing. Yes, ma'am.
But you got it.
Christmas dinner. So, no, close. Really close. Something else about eating. Yes, Cindy. Baking cookies. Do you eat cookies at Christmas dinner? Yes. Excellent answer.
That's actually what we had for dinner.
Yes. And should have for dinner. All right. Somebody else. What else do we have? Yes, ma'am. Spending time with family. Yes. Others. Spending time with others. That's good. How many do we have? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. We've got one more. Oh, this one was hard at the last service, too. It's number seven on the list. Visiting Santa would be good, but no, that's not on the list. That is in the top 10. This one is done generally, I did some by myself this year, but you can do it with a group of people, often family, in the evening. Games are good, close to games. It's not as participatory as games. That's another good one, but no, in the back.
Christmas cards
is good, but no.
Okay, you're out of nose, Barbara. You're out of nose.
You have I'm to out just of nose.
Tell them.
Okay.
You're out of nose.
Watching
movies. She got it in the green. Yes.
Watching Christmas movies. Nicely done. That is something apparently everybody does. So excellent. That's what they are. You did really well. To those of you online, I hope you can do that with Ashley. You can text your answers to Ashley. Okay. Next question is: name seven people in the nativity story, except baby Jesus, even though baby Jesus is almost always the answer in church.
On the far right.
Yes.
Mary.
Excellent. Yes, you. Who? David. He was born in the town of David. That is not one of the top seven. Excellent answer, though. In the back. Joseph. Yes. Was that the pink? Did the pink girl say that? It's hard to tell. Yes, ma'am.
Wise men,
very good. Boy in the back. The shepherds, excellent. In the gray hoodie. Angels, yes. We did a whole bunch of angels. Angels, Angel Gabriel. My grandson is Gabriel. He loves the Christmas story. Yes. The innkeeper is in fact in there. Okay, there's one more that is often not gotten.
Herod.
Who did that?
This young.
That's so good.
That's good. We actually try not to talk too much about Herod because he was really bad. But he was key in the Christmas story. And we aren't going to do anything about him today.
You know what? Since you got Herod, you get to come up and get a poinsettia after church is over, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Anyone you want. Excellent. So what we're going to do now is do lessons and carols, which means we're going to read scripture and sing songs about the Christmas story. We aren't going to do all seven characters because you do want to go home and have brunch. We are not going to read about Joseph. Key in the story, not a lot written about him in scripture, not many songs written about Joseph either. So we are going to start with Luke 2. 8 to 12. Thank you. Here you go.
From Luke 2, 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, which they had just been told.
I believe that is you, young man. 19. That's my bad. I said that wrong. It's the shortest verse and yet one of the most important verses.
But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet? shall shepherds watch a keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son.
Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Close by me forever.
This is a story that we never do on Christmas Eve because it didn't happen until later, so we get to finish the story today.
Matthew 2, from 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet was written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Amen.
Now, I have before me something that we often see at Christmas, and to some lucky person, there's going to be something very special. Do you in fact know what this is? It's a present. It really is. What's another name for a present?
A gift.
A gift. What's the most fun thing about a present? Opening it. Yeah, it really, opening it is very cool. There could be, we don't know what's inside. There could be toys in it or not. We don't know. So I need a volunteer who is willing to open the present. I have several. Some of you are a little wary. You're like, I don't know what's in that thing. You don't know. I could be taking home a giraffe, right? That could happen. We don't know. But I think that we will do this one by height. Would you come sit right here? You, yes. Yeah. Come sit right here. We'll start there. Now let's open. I want you to open this. Yeah, just pull it over. That's right. Hey, I made that myself. Doesn't that look good? Seriously, that's a pretty decent little thing. Okay, I wanted you to be impressed. All right, go ahead. Let's open it up. You can maybe start down here. I don't know what's in it. Well, okay, I do. You have to go really fast. Just tear it. No saving of the paper. None of that. Let's open it up. Okay, open it up. And what's in there?
Lobster.
Open it up. Did you say lobster? No, there's no lobster in there. Oh my goodness. Pull it out. What is in here? Which means we will need another volunteer. Okay, you move down there. And why don't you come up here? Come on. Who doesn't love the present inside the present? Let's open it up. Wait a minute. What do you think is going to be in here? Yeah. But what's the present? Just a box? Shake it one time. Just shake it before you open it. Not just a box. There's something. Would you be in charge of getting that in there? Thank you very much. Open the lid. And what is it? Oh, not another present. Are you kidding? Okay, move out. You're up. Come on up here. Can you put that down there? Thank you very much. Okay, let's see how it goes. What do you think's in here?
Another present.
I know it's going to be a present, but what present do you think it'll be?
A box.
A box? Oh, like who would just give a box?
Another present.
Oh, my goodness. Is there really another present? All right, take your stuff down there. Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. You're up. He's been very excited. I don't know. It feels like something's in there. Okay, now wait a minute. There's a Bible verse, and there's a reason. Don't open it yet. There are a couple reasons we give gifts at Christmas. One Bible verse is to remind us that Jesus really is the great gift, and that's John 3:16. People in the church know it, so we're going to say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, there it is, that one verb. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So there's the three magi, or we say three, there are the magi, we don't know how many, and they brought gifts to Jesus, the baby Jesus, at Christmas. So that's one, but then we have that gift, for God gave his only begotten Son. So open it up, and
another cardboard box.
Every time you open a gift, there's a cardboard box usually. So open it up, and what's inside?
Another.
Oh my goodness, not another one. Are you serious? This is ridiculous. I can't believe somebody did this. Now, here's a question I want to ask you. What's the best gift you gave this Christmas? What's the best one you gave? You gave some clothes to someone? Did they like them? Did they say, this is perfect? What's the best gift you gave?
I gave a present that helped make decisions.
It helps make decisions. Very nice. Was it the magic 8-ball?
No.
It's a spinner, and that helps you. I could use a spinner in my life. Yes. What's the one you gave that you like so much?
I didn't want to open that present.
Oh, you want to come open the present. I like initiative. Come sit right here. Yes, what's the one you gave?
Animal.
A stuffed animal, and did they like it?
Yeah.
Okay, have a seat. So, you know, sometimes the best gifts at Christmas aren't the ones you receive necessarily, they're the ones you give. So now let's open this up. Let's see what's in here. What do you think's in there?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I've forgotten. As you get older, you'll forget things.
Cardboard box?
I know, it's another cardboard box. But wait. Wait. Let's open it. See what's in there. Uh-oh. Hold it. There is something in there. What is it? Pull it out. Could you open that up for me? See if you can figure out how to open it up. I know. It's not easy to open. Oh, what's in there?
It's a mirror.
Who are you looking at?
Myself.
Yourself. That's exactly right.
Can I see it?
Can you see it? Yes, you can. I think that's a very reasonable request. So take a look. Look at that handsome guy. Isn't he good looking? Look at her. Isn't she good looking? You know what's amazing about our church? All the children at our church are good looking. That's one of the reasons people bring them here. The more you come, the better looking you get. That's why church is so good for you. Can you see you? Aren't you good looking? Okay, yes, you are. Look at that. She's like May crinkling up her nose because she's like, I don't want to say I'm good looking, but I feel like I am kind of good looking today. Yeah, you saw yourself. All right. Okay, head back, and I'm going to talk to everybody, including you. Okay? Everybody, including you. John 3:16. And by the way, we're doing this Sunday because, believe it or not, the worship you experience week after week, it takes a lot of time to put together. And we have meetings, and what we try to do is we don't want worship that has such high production costs that it feels like a show, because I've heard people say that, I didn't want a show. But what I also find at Flores is people want to know that enough was invested that when you came, it felt like worship. So we live between this tension of not a show, but please bring our best to worship God. Isn't that a good tension in between there? That's where we want to live. But the Sunday after Christmas, I want our staff to enjoy their family and their friends. And I don't want them to go to one meeting, and I'd rather they not open email. That would be my hope. And I just want them to enjoy themselves. Would you agree with that? So that's why this is kind of homemade, right? So what I want to say to you is this. John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. But do you know what John 1:16 is? John 1:16 is after, it's that section after, you know, the light has come into the world, the darkness could not overcome it. John 1:16, anybody know that verse? I would not know it had I not reviewed it. And we have received from his fullness grace upon grace. That is one of the scriptures that I wish I had written. I just love that verse. I love how it sounds. And we have received, say it with me, and we have received from his fullness grace upon grace. That's how it reads in the New Revised Standard Version. And so last night I was saying to my family, luckily I was speaking to three members who were all educators, which means they know things. And I was like, I really need some help with what I'm going to say tomorrow. And they said, well, you could do this, that. And they weren't really giving me that much. And I said, you are underestimating how lazy I am today. I said, essentially, I want you to come up with this thing. And so they thought about the box, you know, with the kids, because they said kids will like that. But kids, look here. It's the mirror I want you to see. What I want you to be thinking about at Christmas is, if we have received from his fullness grace upon grace, it logically leads to the question of the coming year, what then shall we do? What gift shall we give? If you've received grace upon grace, not about you, but my life is a story of grace upon grace. Most of my life has been a pretty charmed existence, pretty good life. Really wonderful things have just fallen into my lap on many occasions. I've tried to work diligently. I try to take advantage of my opportunities. I'm sure you have. But a lot of things have just come my way. And then grace upon grace is also all those things I didn't get right, that I hurt people or I said things I regretted and all those things. I've been forgiven so many times by God. Grace upon grace. And so who would be comfortable sitting by a Christmas tree, receiving gifts, and never think about what they're giving? None of us. None of us would be comfortable in that. That's not who you are. There may be people like that in the world, but they are not here right now. So what we have to do is look in a mirror and say to ourselves, I have gifts to give. I have gifts to give. And at the 8 o'clock service, because there's a smaller number of people, I had a child walk around and show, and everybody had to look in the mirror and say, I have gifts to give. I'd like you to sometime today go to a mirror by yourself, because you'll feel really embarrassed doing this, and just look in a mirror and just try to be as unembarrassed as I am. Although, gotta see. Just be as unembarrassed as I am. Just say, I have gifts to give. Because a lot of us have gifts in our closet that we're not wearing. We've got gifts in our closet, and it's either low confidence or low self-esteem or some other reason. It could be another reason. But we've got these gifts, these things that we could be bringing to the world, these blessings we could be offering, but they're like clothes in our closet that we're not wearing right now. And you know what? They're beautiful clothes. It's not that they're out of style. It's not that they're not good clothes. It's that we're just not moving them. So in January, we're going to do something. We're going to have this sermon series called Strength Finders. It's a Gallup organization. It's called Living Your Strengths. They have a poll called Strength Finders. We're going to try to get everybody in the church to take the poll. Because I want you to go through your closet and say, you know what? This is a strength I have. And I want you to start using it. Because I want you to think about this. If we have received grace upon grace, why would we not do that? Now, here's a question I want to ask you. To give the love of Christ that you've received, there's a scripture where Paul says that we have to let the peace of Christ rule our hearts, into which we have been called into the one body. Let the peace of Christ. So I want to ask you this question. I want you to give me some answers. What habits in your life enable you to experience the peace of Christ? What habits enable you to experience the peace of Christ? Those of you who are online, feel free. Ashley Allen is there. Feel free to send her some of your own so that you're participating. But those of you in the sanctuary, what habits?
Prayer.
That's you and Neil said the same thing at the same time. Prayer, yeah. What else?
Giving.
Somebody said one up here. Say it loud.
Giving.
Generosity. Thank you. Nobody said that at the earlier service. Thumbs up. Yes, in the back here. Reading the Bible. Yeah, there's something about reading the Bible that we find the inspired Word of God. It just tends to speak to us in that way. Others?
Being in community.
Music. That's why Christmas music's so great, right? Others?
Acceptance.
Say more about acceptance.
I've learned to accept things I can't change.
She said, I've learned to accept things I can't change. And turn them over to God. And that's a discipline that enables you to have the peace of Christ. How about here?
Talking to people about God.
So when we share our faith, when we talk to people about God, thank you very much. Anybody else have one?
Worship.
Thank you very much.
Forgiving
other people. Now, here's my point. Well, not my point. Here's the point you're making. Those things enable us to experience God's peace in such a way that we are much more likely to give a gift to somebody else. And I don't mean give a gift like a box. I mean the gift of compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience. Now, here's what I want you to, you just said a number of things. Prayer and generosity, sharing your faith, reading the Bible. Katie, what was your word?
Acceptance,
forgiveness. These were all things you said. Now, I want to ask you something. How much a part of your daily life are those practices right now? And a great thing to be thinking about as you move into 2019 is, how do I get into that place? Most of us are not in a peaceful place. Most of us are either in a chaotic place, a disordered place, or an anxious place. And the way to recapture your center are these practices which you already know because no preacher told you this morning. You came up with them on your own. And then the second question that I want to ask you is this. What helps you offer the love of Christ to other people? What helps you offer the love of Christ to other people?
Service,
so intentional service, right? Like signing up. Monica's a big guest house person, so I know her time is coming. Was that, Monica, was that you or Joyce who said that? It was Monica. Abundance helps you. Say more about that. Yeah, there's more to give. Living an abundance mindset, right? Rather than scarcity. Scarcity says there's not enough, but abundance says God's got plenty to give, and I've got plenty to give. Yeah. Others, what helps you share the love of Christ with others? Yes.
Gratitude.
Encouragement.
Living
He said, living as though you are loved, which you are. We have received from his fullness grace upon grace. It's abundant. Somebody had one over here.
Reflection.
Thank you. When you reflect, what happens in your life? You begin to realize how blessed you are, and then you kind of want to share that out, right?
Sharing your joy
with other people. Let's take one last one.
Community.
Yeah, community is really, I think, big. And so one of the things that we're going to do in the coming year during Lent is I'm kind of excited about this. I just finished editing a book yesterday. I know, it's really good. That's called Just Crossing the Finish Line on Time is what that's called. And thank you to a very kind editor. And it's called Reckless Love, and we're going to use it during Lent. I think God offers an abundant, it's so abundant that it's reckless. It's so abundant that it's reckless. God dispenses love the way irresponsible people use money. I hate to put it that way. He's just passing it out. Just God is so gracious. And during Lent, we're going to focus on this, not to remind ourselves of how much God loves us. That's really important. The focus of the book is how do we keep the great commandment, the Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus said there's a second one that's just like it. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting, the editor called me and she said, you know, at a certain point in this book, you've combined those two things and they're separate. And by the end of the writing of the book, I was in a modality where it just came out. I didn't do it on purpose. I realized in my mind, Jesus, I am fully convinced of what Jesus said. Those two things go together. And you can't do one. And I think we're at a time where Christians have to think and rethink, what does it mean to love each other? And what does it mean to love our neighbor? So as you go into 2019, kids, thank you very much. The gift inside was what? What was inside the boxes? The mirror. And when you open up the mirror, you look inside and you see yourself and you say, wow, I've got gifts to give. And when I say I've got gifts to give, it means that I've received much from God. So therefore, I want to
give.
So I want you to think about your year that's ahead. What are the disciplines that you need? What are the ways that you can offer it? Amen? Let's close.